And Jesus says, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Last week we heard the phrase from Dante, the great Italian poet from the Divine Comedy, where he says, "In God's will is our peace. In God's will is our peace." Now we can take great comfort in that, knowing that when we enter into God's will, which is perfect love, then we will find our place of peace. God is our peace. Jesus is our peace. His will is our peace. We might also say truthfully that God wills our peace. God's will is our salvation. He wills the salvation of every single human being. And so he wills that we would be at peace. And that is a great comfort to us, knowing that God is diligent in his work to bring us into that place. We see indeed the love of God toward us, that he himself entered into our human history and became one of us in the person of his Son, and died the death upon the cross, that we might be reconciled to God, that we might then enter into a life with God and be in his peace. And so we see that God has accomplished these things. We rejoice as Christians every Sunday when we gather at the altar that God has done all things well, that he has indeed won the redemption through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we partake of that victory through the sacraments of the church, and we participate in what Christ has done for us. So we rejoice that God has done all things well, that he has done his part. And now it is for us to do our part. We respond to the love of God by loving him. We respond to God's love and his offer of salvation by receiving his salvation. And so that is our part. And in the Christian life, we find that this is not just an assent to a set of principles or ideas. We're not simply shaking our head yes to a set of propositions, you know, like the foundation of how to live a good life and saying, "Yes, I agree to that." No, we are embracing God himself by receiving his Son as Lord and Savior, by receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, where he is now given unrestricted access to our life. We surrender to him, allow him even into our hearts, into the deepest places in our soul, where he may take up residence and transform our life. So we are now in a relationship with him, in a personal relationship. And it's at the personal level that love is communicated. And so we now receive God's love and love him by receiving Christ and loving him. Now this relationship with Christ then is an extraordinary event and continuously unfolds in the Christian life. If we come into relationship with the one who is light of light, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, the one who is all goodness, truth, beauty, and justice, then his light will shine upon us, and we will then be able to see, you know, in a different way than if we weren't in the same place as Christ. But we're, you know, imagine if you're in the same room as a person that is all good, right? And I had this experience once. I'll tell you, I was on my way traveling with another priest, Father Hines, and we had a few minutes before we had time at the airport, so we were waiting. Went to Sky Harbor Airport. We're waiting in the little room there where they have a little art museum. And into that room came a sister, a nun who was on an errand of mercy. And there was such goodness in this woman. I mean, it emanated from her in such a way that I felt like Peter on the boat, who said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." That's what happens when we come into relationship with Christ. There is that, you know, light shining on us, where we might find that if he is all holy, we are not all holy. We find, what is love? Love is patient. Well, I look at myself and I realize I'm not very patient. Love is long-suffering. I don't put up with people very long. Love is kind. Well, I find that I'm not very kind. You know, that relationship now shines light on me, and I begin to see where I am falling short of love. where I'm not reaching the measure of love, where I'm not loving with self-sacrificial love like Jesus loves. And what is the experience of that in the soul if I see that I have fallen short, that I am not measuring up to the standard of love? Then I may feel guilt in my soul. And we would say that guilt is to the soul like pain is to the body. It serves a good function. If I have pain in my body, I can know that I have a problem with my, you know, I have a blister on my foot. I won't hike the next 10 miles before I take care of that. If I feel guilt in my soul, that unease, that distress of soul is not a comfortable feeling. I'm not at peace. But that's helpful to me because I know that I need to come into a place of peace. It shows me that I need to have that conversation with God that we call repentance. It's a beautiful image that's given in the work of Dante, in the Divine Comedy, in the work of Purgatorio, where he speaks about himself as a pilgrim coming into purgatory. And he has to cross a threshold. The threshold has three stairs. The first stair is all white. Clear. It shows a clarity of brilliance. And that white stair is shining, is a stair where he can see his own soul. Not like he could see in a mirror where he has, you know, blemishes and where he's dirty, where he needs to be washed. And that is akin or an image of confession. Now, confession is that part of repentance where a person is honest about who they are with God. Now that God has shown me the truth and I see where I'm at and in relation to that truth, I can be honest about it. Say, God, I've made mistakes. I haven't done the right. And from the guilt of my soul, I can tell I'm not at peace with you and I've done these things that are wrong. I need to confess. The beauty of this kind of truth speaking with God is that the truth will set us free. And this is the liberty which is our birthright as Christians. We are given that kind of liberty where we can have a frank discussion with God, be honest about who we are, and without shame or feeling that we have to hide from God, we can come to Him who is love Himself and show Him what we have done. God desires that from us, that we would be honest about where we're at with Him. He doesn't want us to make a confession where we're trying to pretend to be righteous. There's no pretense before God who knows all things, who searches the heart. God who has that property of omniscience, He knows. But it's helpful for me as a sinner to come before Him and make confession of these sins, to acknowledge my transgression. And then the second stair, right, of self, that's self-examination. The second stair the pilgrim crosses over, where he will be purged of his sins, where he'll be washed. The second stair is all black, and it has a crack in it in the shape of a cross. This is the blackness of contrition, sorrow for sin. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou shalt not despise. If I really come into conversation with love Himself and acknowledge my transgressions, where I've gone wrong, where I haven't done the right, where I've hurt other people by my own selfishness and my own meanness and those things that I haven't done right, then I will understand that that heartfelt sorrow can come up in me of contrition, which is God-given. And that's a sorrow for sin that helps me recognize that against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, from Psalm 51. That if I've ever hurt anybody else, I've also transgressed God's love. It's really between me and Him. And there is that signal moment in the conversion of St. Paul, remember, when he's on the way to Damascus. Saul of Tarsus, who has letters that will allow him to put Christians in jail for their newfound faith. And he is a very zealous, defender of the Jewish religion. And he's going after the new Christians. And he is struck with a brilliant light. He falls from his horse and he hears in a conversation with God, Jesus, who speaks to him and says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Well, Saul's been persecuting Christians, but Jesus is, why are you hurting me? If you've done it unto one of the least of these, his brethren, you've done it unto him. And so contrition shows us that our sins are really against God. And that heartfelt sorrow then leads to the third step that the pilgrim must you know, go over these steps to come into a place of freedom. And that third step is red. And it shows the symbol of the blood of Christ where we can be washed clean. For Christ died for the forgiveness of the sins of the whole world. At the meta level, he is the second Adam who is making all things right. Through the first Adam came death. Through the second Adam came life. And his blood was shed for the forgiveness of the sins of the entire world. That's at this big level, but I must make that my own by receiving the forgiveness of God and by coming into a place of satisfaction where I accept God's forgiveness, which he has now ministered to me through the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. And we believe in the forgiveness of sins. Some people, when they come into the church and they get to know a little bit about God, they see the truth of his love, it convicts them, they feel guilty, they're like, ah, this one big guilt trip. But we should never stop there. Just because I have pain in my foot doesn't mean I can't go on that hike. I have to fix that blister. I have to take off my boot, my sock, wash it, put on some moleskin, put my sock back on, my boot back on, then I can go. Same here, the guilt is to get us to the right place where we can get back on track. The sadness of people who don't come to God to be relieved of their guilt, they don't lay their burden down, is it cripples their capacity to love. When we confess our sins, when we receive the forgiveness of God, we are liberated again to do those things for which we are created and redeemed to do. Those who never confess their sins, who are unrepentant, and who stay stuck in their sins, it'll make them mad. I remember a priest I worked with once at a summer camp. His name is Father Chip Angel. What a great name for a priest, Father Angel. That's hard to live up to. Father Angel. Now, if I'm Father Dart, I have to get to the point here. Well, he said, before he became a priest, he was a psychiatrist. He did his residency in an institution, a hospital, and the director took him around and he said, look, everybody here, if they're not suffering from organic brain disease or brain injury, they're in this institution because of unresolved anger or guilt. Think about that. God would have us not in that place of torment where we're in pain, but to be liberated from it. And the blood of Christ cleanseth from all sin. And so confession, contrition, and then satisfaction. These are the steps of the penitent, which are woven into our worship. That's why in the Mass we go through this rhythm where we make confession, receive absolution, make confession, receive absolution. That's why we have the penitential seasons year by year. The penitential season of Advent, then the joyful celebration of Christmas. The penitential season of Lent and the joyful celebration of Christ's victory at Easter. This is woven there so that we can, in our own life, know that when we have the pain of guilt, we come to God and make confession. And God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will set us free. And hallelujah, we are given that grace and gift that we would come then into that place where God wills us. He is incessant in his love for us. He is like the good shepherd who leaves the 99 safe and then goes after the one that is lost. He is looking after you, searching for you. He is like the woman who loses that coin, who then lights a candle, diligently sweeps the house, and seeks until she finds. God is seeking for you. And when that coin is found, when the sheep is found, then there is rejoicing. Or the third parable in the Gospel of Luke in this series of parables, the father who rejoices at the return of the prodigal son, who races out to embrace him. That is God's love for us. When we repent, when you acknowledge your sin in honesty, when you say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me, and when you receive the forgiveness, there is rejoicing in heaven. God rejoices in the holy angels because that is his will. You come into that place of freedom where you can be washed clean and get on the pilgrim path to love again. It's a beautiful phrase that we find in the in the confessional, the prayer of confession we pray in the sacrament of confession. Right after the person has laid their burden down and received forgiveness, where God will remember their sin no more. And they don't have to either. In fact, they shouldn't. They should just, it's a done deal. Now they can restore to newness of life in this life-giving ministry of Christ. A beautiful phrase where now the priest will give them a blessing and say to them, he says their name, so, Stephen, go in peace. The Lord hath put away all thy sins. Think about that. God himself, through the ministry of his priest, saying to the soul who is penitent, go in peace. The Lord hath put away all thy sins. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.